Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, November 11th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabweans have been urged to plant drought-tolerant crops in order to boost crop production in the country, where more than 1.6 million people are currently facing starvation.
Farmers, especially in the semi-arid region, this is an appeal to those farmers. Let's run away from maize, because maize needs a lot of water.
A Zimbabwean based in the United States, George Mawende, says there is need for Zimbabweans living in America to prepare for debts, college education, and life after retirement.
It's all about financial planning. We look into situations whereby we have family protection through life insurance. We also have personal investments.
In the Women's Forum this evening, we are speaking to Selmo Mutukuzi. And some candidates for the Zifa presidential election are raising eyebrows. Stay tuned. Zimbabweans have been urged to plant drought-tolerant crops in order to boost crop production in the country, where more than 1.6 million people are currently facing starvation. Agricultural experts say local people in dry regions should stop planting maize and plant crops like sorghum and millet. One of the experts, Everson Ndlovu, who is also a development expert, tells Studio 7 there is also a need to conserve stock feed to cater for livestock up to next year.
We are expecting rains, though of course the MET department is telling us that we need to exercise some caution. I will advise farmers to use whatever stock feed they had carefully. When it comes to crops, I will advise farmers to ensure they create some small plots. It's no use actually tilling all the land. Let them till adequate space that they can easily mulch. Because temperatures are quite high and the signs are that we might not get the required amount of rainfall. Let them harvest the little rains that are going to fall. So rain harvesting techniques are quite critical at this time. I'm not sure what they can use, but they have to ensure that they harvest whatever rain they can.
We know that some farmers are facing challenges in sourcing maize seed. What should they do?
Farmers, especially in the semi-arid and arid regions, this is an appeal to those farmers. Let's run away from maize, because maize needs a lot of water. Let them embrace the small grains, sorghum and the millet and the, some other small grains, because then you know that with small grains, even if it's a bad season, you will still get something in return. Maize will require increased amount of water, which farmers, especially in the dry areas, do not have.
Can they use the traditional maize seed?
Yes, but even that maize seed, they must ensure that this is the maize seed that is meant for the, you know, what you call the short season varieties.
Most farmers don't have access to fertilizer. What should they do, Mr. Ndlovu?
Our farmers have a lot of manure, plenty of manure. Unfortunately, we so much believe in fertilizer, even in a very dry season, they still apply fertilizer. And yet we all know that fertilizer will demand more amount of water, water that we do not have. So I will urge farmers to rely on the natural fertilizer. They have this in their crops, plenty of it, be it chickens, be it goats, be it pigs, be it cattle. There's a lot of organic fertilizer that they can utilize in small quantities, and still it will yield the desired results.
And this concept of pit seed plantation, tell us a bit about it.
What they call zero farming, the extension officers. You simply dig holes that are probably 15 centimeters by 15 centimeters by 15 centimeters. That's one. So these are the holes that you dig. These are basins where you will then plant. Now the idea is when it rains, water will then collect in this pit or in this basin. That's one thing. When water collects there, you are actually sure that there will be adequate moisture on that piece of land for an elongated time. So after water is collected, you can then plant your whatever. In fact, you add fertilizer. In this case, I'll add farmers to add manure. Then you can plant whatever you're planting. Then cover the area with it, especially after, say, the first 2 weeks of germination. You can then cover cover that area using whatever grasses, leaves you can get, you actually mulch the whole area to minimize the rate of evaporation. That's basically the idea. We call it conservation farming. Our forefathers used to do long back. It's a productive system. You can harvest quite plenty within a very small piece of land.
And this, we assume, can be done by any farmer?
Any farmer, whether you are a rich farmer or a poor farmer, anyone can do that. It's a system that has proven to be very productive, and I realize most farmers are actually embracing it. Even the commercial farmers are actually embracing that because it works. It works. It's a miracle, really.
That was development expert Everson Ndlovu speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. A Zimbabwean based in the United States, George Mawende, says there is need for Zimbabweans living in America to prepare for debts, college education, and life after retirement. Mawende, who owns New York Life, says it is important for Zimbabweans to cater for such issues as some become stranded at times due to lack of proper planning. He speaks to Studio 7 about various insurance packages being offered by his organization.
It's all about financial planning, planning ahead towards your financial objectives. We look into situations whereby we have family protection through life insurance. We also have personal investments, college savings plans. We also have mortgage protection and retirement annuity. Those are the key fundamental issues that we discuss with our clients.
Now, can you actually peel off, let me say, one of the packages that we have, make it simple for a common person to understand exactly what you're talking about?
Let me start by explaining on family protection. Family protection, we are looking at consequences of death, which one person can experience through a beloved father who pass on, through a beloved mother who pass on, because there is no money left. Initially, we look at burial itself. If you die today with no money, there is serious problems that other people who you left are going to struggle to even bury you.
So now, how much can, let's say, my own family pay, you know, towards that kind of plan?
It depends with your age. It depends with your habits. All those information are too personal. But those are the key areas which we look at as we underwrite you to actually give you the right installment and the right cover for your family.
And the other package, we were talking about college issues.
College policies are the ones which, even if you refer back home, these are the educational policies whereby you invest, you put money aiming to reach a stage where when your kid reach the college, normally the college part is very expensive. Most of the people, they resort to government loans, which are not the way, because when paying back those loans, actually they put much interest on it. So we are trying to say, build your ark now, put your money down, and make sure that when your child or your kid reaches the college level, you are able to withdraw and pay off.
So if, let's say, a student wants to go to college next year, how do you invest in that kind of a portfolio?
The best way to save for college savings, we look from year one the kid is born until seventh year, so that you give the room for the money to grow on the market. We cannot take a kid today who wants to go to college next year and invest today.
So now give us another policy that we have that you can explain to us.
We also look at retirement annuity. Here in America, we depend on Social Security. We depend on 401k. That money is not enough. It's only the government that they can give you a platform where to start. If you calculate your money which you use today, in the next 25 or 30 years when you retire, the money is not enough. Put more money on your side. Invest more money into your retirement annuity. This is the only pocket that no creditor can access. This is the money that can be protected by the government. It can also give you a tax exempt as you live, because the government will be looking at a scenario whereby they say you are actually working towards your retirement annuity. You are off-bedding yourself from us. You are not going to rely on us on medication, on a lot of stuff that is needed. So government itself protects you against your money which you put in your retirement annuity.
Talk to Zimbabweans about some of these issues that you are discussing with us here.
As Zimbabwean community, I am just here to let you know that this kind of programs are actually meant for you guys. Most of our African brothers, they want to retire back home. So when you go back home, what do you have? When you die here, are we able to carry you back home and bury you? How much is needed to carry you back home? So when you go back home alive, how much money do you have which is enough to make you live for the next 10 or 15 years again as you retire?
Now, this kind of interesting scenario that you're talking about is if somebody dies here and you're saying that you've got something that you can do for people, you know, what exactly can you do if, let's say, somebody dies, you want to send the body to Zimbabwe?
When you die today, as a policyholder of New York Life, we provide cash. We don't offer coffins. We don't offer services. We give you, for example, somebody took a policy which is supposed to cover him for $1 million or $100,000. We look into the situation whereby when we pay to the beneficiaries have the right to see how much do you really need to carry your brother, to carry your sister, to carry your mother back home. So the rest is left to the kids to survive, and the rest is left to the beneficiaries to survive on that money.
That was George Mawende of New York Life speaking with Studio 7 from Washington, D.C. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next week, we are rolling out a series looking at First Lady Grace Mugabe. Who is she? What does she stand for? What are her political aspirations? What does the future hold for her, especially as ZANU-PF battles with the succession issue? Please tune in next week as we try to answer these questions and more.
Some candidates for the ZIFA presidential election are raising eyebrows, with some critics saying only people with a football background should run for the post of ZIFA president and vice president. Indications are that businessman Philip Chiangwa and some other candidates running for the post of ZIFA president is unsettling several people. We caught up with independent soccer analyst Love Motube, who says what is needed in Zimbabwe is to get a person who is capable of serving the country's beautiful game that is soccer.
I hope this time the allegations that we previously had against our councillors won't come to play, where there have been allegations of vote buying, beer buying. Looking at the personnel that has been put forward, you look at Philip Chiangwa, a successful businessman in his own right, who's been involved in sporting disciplines like boxing. And you have got Trevor Carolus-Chul. His resume is quite impressive. He's a former footballer. He's a former coach, having won the league championship in 1983 as a 27-year-old. You have James Takabada, the 1984 Zimbabwe player of the year, who represented the country at under-20, under-23. And senior level. He's quite knowledgeable about the game. You've got Leslie Gwindi, the first Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Football Club, to go as far as the Africa Champions League. His time as PSL Secretary General was also colorful. The fruits of his vision at Harare City have borne fruit. The team won the Chibugu Super Cup last week. Quite an impressive lineup, kid.
Now, looking at all those kind of people, you know, who do you think may end up landing the position?
It's still too early to say, because real campaigning and a realistic picture will be seen when they've been vetted.
That was independent sports commentator Love Motube speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight we have the pleasure of speaking to Afro jazz singer and activist Selma Mutukudzi, who was here in Washington, D.C. under the One Campaign, an organization that seeks to eradicate poverty. Selma was in Washington to help launch the remix of the song and video for Strong Girl and speak to legislators about the next stage of One's Poverty is Sexist campaign and the Electrify Africa legislation, which is still pending in Congress. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Selma.
Thank you so much for having me.
What were you saying to the U.S. Congress when you met them?
I tried my best to make them realize that the people that are actually suffering are the women and children. I understand the differences between our government, but I'm hopeful that for this project, they'll be able to remember the women and children that need electricity. So I'm hopeful that we might not be the first in line, But I'm hoping that something could happen for us.
And how important is it for you as an artist to stand up and stand for such a worthy cause as electricity, especially when you are talking about the issues of women and girls in Africa and per se in Zimbabwe?
That is the thing, though. Women have so many responsibilities. We take care of our children, we take care of our husbands, the household we take care of. So the empowerment of women is very important, not only for my own benefit as a woman, which I would definitely appreciate, but also remembering all the other women in the country, in the continent as a whole. And so lending my voice to such a cause was very important for me. As a woman, first of all, and as a mother, I'd want, obviously, to see us women reaching our full potential and being given equal opportunities to be able to achieve all that we want to.
And also, while you're here in the U.S., I understand that you also just won an award. Tell us about that.
Actually, I was nominated for the African Entertainment Award. I was going up against Zahara from South Africa, Yemi Alade from Nigeria, also Tinashe from here in the States. So it was quite an honor for me to take the award home. I was not expecting to win at all because all of these women are amazing and I love their songs. So I just, you know, I give all the glory to God. It's an amazing feeling to be able to achieve such an honor.
Give us a snippet of the song. I know it's called Nguva Yangu.
Okay. Wakandi pezera nguva yangu, jindi yepera, jindi misama. Wakandi pezera nguva yangu, jindi yepera. Jindi nyepera, jindi misamara.
Now you're telling me that you need some space. Spesie,
jindi nyepera, jindi misamara.
Now we understand why you won the award. And also, while you're here, you have been traveling with your husband, Tendai Manata, who's also a musician. How is it like for you as a woman to get that support from your husband?
Well, it's very important. We did the song Strong Girl, which was for the poverty sexist campaign that we did with One. And we actually then followed up with a remix of the song where we now included the guys from across Africa to come and support the song. We were saying that it's really important to get the men supporting what us women are fighting for and speaking up about. So it's very important for me to have my husband with me, supporting me through everything that I'm doing. And I feel blessed, really, that I've been able to do what I do and have someone who understands and supports.
Going back to Strong Girl, how important was it for you to participate in that program for One, especially when it comes to women of Africa and artists?
It was so, so important that I lend my voice to such a cause. As a woman and a mother in Africa myself, I felt I needed to use my voice and my influence to force change in the policy-making process in both my country and even across Africa. So it was very important that we do speak about it, and I was so glad that One approached me to be part of the Poverty Sexist campaign.
Thank you very much, Selma, for having been our guest.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, saying join us again next week when we'll look at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. And now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabweans have been urged to plant drought-tolerant crops in order to boost crop production in the country. A Zimbabwean based in the United States says there's need for Zimbabweans living in America to prepare for debts, college education, and life after retirement. And in the Women's Forum this evening, we had Selma Mtukudzi, the daughter of music icon Oliver Mtukudzi. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.